at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati asks West Papua to improve performance. Qatar-Indonesia trade value boosts greatly. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi conveys about the difficulty of humanitarian case settlement for Rakhine State refugees. Now the news in details. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani has asked the Governor of West Papua, Domingus Mandacan, to continue to improve the performance of the regional government. On a working visit to Manokwari on Wednesday, Sri Mulyani stated that the transfers funds and village funds disbursed by the Ministry of Finance to West Papua in the coming 2019 amounted to 20.81 trillion rupiah. This number increased 22.6% from the year before 2018. Of these funds, 63.3 billion rupiah are in the form of regional incentives. The performance of the regional government has increased so that regional incentive funds in the following year can be added. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Sri Mulyani remarked that so far, a number of West Papua provincial government performance is quite good. She hoped that the performance will continue to improve so that the incentive funds can be increased as well. Trade value between Qatar and Indonesia experienced great growth, from around $600 in 2017 into more than $1 million in 2018. That was conveyed by Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan in his remarks during the commemoration of Qatar National Day in Jakarta on Tuesday. However, Minister Jonan added, investment sector has not experienced similar growth.
In last year we have charged the growth on trade from $600 million into more than $1 billion a year. On investment, we understand that it has not been made significantly so far, but we promise that we have to keep our both side effort to make it happen as soon as we can.
Indonesian Trade Ministry's statistics data on Indonesia-Qatar trade value recorded the total trade of the two countries for January to October 2018 reached $1.240 million, or increased 77.56% compared to the same period in 2017, which was only $700 million. Import in oil and gas sector becomes the biggest contribution with around $1.074 million. Despite the positive increase in trade value, Minister Ignatius Jonan affirmed, the relation of Qatar and Indonesia also very close in humanity. Since Qatar had given aid for Indonesia when disaster hit West Nusa Tenggara and Central Sulawesi. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi explained that the settlement of humanitarian case for Rakhine State refugee have many difficulties. Minister Retno said that there are three criteria that must be fulfilled before the refugee can go back to their homes in Myanmar. While giving a general lecture entitled Talk Show with Menlu Retno in Pajajaran University, Bandung, West Java on Wednesday, Minister Retno Marsudi stated that the three criteria are repatriations must be voluntarily safe and dignified.
Dan anak-anak tidak mudah untuk memenuhi tiga kriteria tersebut sehingga...
It's not easy for children to fulfill three criteria, so repatriations from Cox's Bazar to Rakhine State can be done. What is happening is that trust deficits between Myanmar and countries in the world is getting worse. If the situation keeps happening, it will give bad effect not only for Myanmar but also for Asia.
Antara Myanmar dengan masyarakat internasional, dan jika hal ini terus terjadi, maka tentunya dampaknya akan tidak saja buruk bagi Myanmar, tetapi juga bagi ASEAN.
Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi mentioned that President Joko Widodo at Asian Summit Conference in Singapore several times ago had also emphasized about the importance to give wide access to Asian Disaster Mitigation Institution, or AHA Center, to inventorizing the need of Rakhine State refugees to go back to their homes. Minister Retno also added that nowadays the process is going on and Indonesia is committed to be in front line to stipulate the humanitarian tragedy can overcome wisely. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Industry Ministry stated that it will boost export of products from five industrial sectors: automotive, textile and textile products, small and medium, and chemical industries. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto on Wednesday said that the government encouraged efforts to boost export of products of industries which still have capacity to increase production. In chemical sector, cement industry could still increase its production as it still has ideal capacity. Cement industry has a production capacity of 100 million tons as against domestic consumption of 70 million tons. Minister Erlangga further said that he wants the automotive industry to boost export of multi-purpose vehicle, or MPV, and sport utility vehicle, SUV, to 300,000 units next year. Currently, exports of those types of cars average 200,000 units per year. The minister said, in a bid to increase export, Indonesia is seeking partnership with a number of countries under Free Trade Agreement or Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. The minister also said Indonesia has a big opportunity to expand export market through the partnerships agreement such as the Indonesian-European Free Trade Agreement, CEPA. Indonesian government through Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry has expressed its concern to various groups in Indonesia related to condition of Uyghur community in China. The statement was conveyed by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs to Chinese Ambassador Xiao Shan in Jakarta on Monday. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Armanata Natsir in Bandung on Wednesday said that at the meeting, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs emphasized that freedom of religion and belief are the human rights and become responsibility of the state to be respected. It is in accordance with the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. Armanata also said that the Chinese ambassador to Indonesia also expressed his commitment towards protection of human rights. He also agreed that information about the condition of Uyghur community is an important thing to be known by public.
Dalam kesempatan tersebut juga,
on that occasion, the Chinese ambassador also expressed China's commitment to the protection of human rights and agreed that information about the condition of the Uyghur people is important to be known by public.
Masyarakat Uyghur penting untuk diketahui publik.
Armanata Natsir moreover said, although the issue of the Uyghur peoples is a domestic affair of China, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry noted the willingness of the Chinese embassy in Jakarta to continuously expand communication with various civil society groups. He said that it was done to be able to convey information about the condition of Uyghur's community in China. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan hope to wrap up the process of shared divestment of PT Freeport Indonesia before the end of this year. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Jonan on Wednesday also said, the draft of the shared divestment terms has been prepared and it needs only payment transactions. Issues related to the environment has been almost settled, adding the government sorted out problem one by one. One important condition is that PT Freeport Indonesia has to build smelters or mineral refinery in Indonesia as already agreed upon. He explained Freeport Indonesia has agreed to build the smelters, therefore there should be no problem. Meanwhile, the Supreme Audit Agency BPK said, in the implementation of its working contract, there are problems that need corrections related to the use of 4.536 hectares of protected forest land without permit and the disposal of mining tailing that caused serious damage to the ecosystem. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with commentary entitled Social Solidarity for the Nation's Progress. December 20th is commemorated as the Social Solidarity Day. The date was chosen since in 1948. All Indonesian people were united to protect the nation's sovereignty by expelling the colonizers from Yogyakarta, the capital of Indonesia at the time. 10 years afterwards, the Social Solidarity Day was initiated and later commemorated annually. Social solidarity is an original value of Indonesia. The soul and spirit of social solidarity in the nation and people's lives have principally existed long before Indonesia stands as an independent nation. Therefore, the social solidarity becomes an identity and is practiced until now. In the struggle for independence, it became a tool to fight the colonization. Nowadays, Indonesia doesn't face colonizer anymore, but social issues such as poverty, social gap, natural disasters, diversity, and many others. The struggle against those issues is not easy. Sukarno, the first president of Indonesia, once said, "My struggle is easier, since it's against colonizer. But your struggle will be heavier, since you are facing your own brothers." That quote reminds the current generation that the next struggle is social issues. However, the Indonesian government cannot work alone. The people need to cooperate in solving it together. In solving the issues, the people must prioritize the social solidarity values, such as mutual cooperation and helping each other. Indonesian people's work is how to maintain the social solidarity to stay in the mindset and real work of Indonesians in politics, economy, social, and culture. And that is not easy task. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau telah bahagia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. The first information is about National Social Solidarity Day. The National Social Solidarity Day is commemorated in a bid to remember, appreciate, and emulate the spirit of unity, mutual cooperation and kinship among the Indonesian people to solve problems and defend the nation's sovereignty over the occupation of Yogyakarta as the capital city of the Republic of Indonesia by the Dutch army on December 20, 1948. After that, the date was made by the Ministry of Social Affairs as a social day, which eventually turned into a Social Service Day, and changed again to the National Social Solidarity Day. The next information is about the establishment of Cabinet of the Republic of the United States of Indonesia. Cabinet of the Republic of United States of Indonesia was formed in accordance to establishment of the Republic of the United States of Indonesia after Indonesia's sovereignty was recognized by the Dutch authority. The cabinet took charge of the governance for 1 year before Indonesia finally returned to the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The cabinet was formed by Muhammad Hatta as its prime minister on December 20, 1949. The cabinet consisted of 13 ministries and 3 state ministries. The last information is Macau is returned to China. On December 20, 1999, Macau was officially returned by Portuguese to the People's Republic of China. Macau is currently the special administrative region of the People's Republic of China. Macau is located in China's south coast, precisely 70 kilometers from the southwest of Hong Kong and 145 kilometers from Guangzhou. Macau has been known as the oldest European colony in China since the 16th century. That was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia, entitled Indonesian Conveys Issued on Waste Management in Poland. Director General of Waste Management, Waste and Hazardous and Toxic Materials, the Minister of Environment and Forestry, held a talk show, which became a series of activities at the Pavilion Indonesia at the 24th session of the Conference of the Parties, COP, to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, in Katowice, Poland. The talk show theme, Indonesian Concrete Action on Reducing Plastic Waste, on Wednesday, presented speakers, among others, Rosafi Finratnawati, Director General of Waste Management, Hazardous and Toxic Materials and Waste, Ministry of Environment and Forestry. Rosafi Finratnawati, in a release received by Republika recently, said that the talk show was aimed to promote Indonesia's contribution in reducing plastic waste, particularly in combating plastic waste at sea from land-based activities and mitigating climate change. Based on data, the volume of waste in Indonesia is dominated by organic waste by 57%, followed by 16% plastic waste, 10% paper and cardboard waste, and 17% others. In a decade, Rosa said that the composition of plastic waste has increased by 5%, and plastic waste has increased rapidly in the last 5 years. Therefore, Indonesia is committed to set a target of 30% reduction and handling of garbage properly by 70% of the total waste generation by 2025. To reduce plastic waste,
Indonesia has taken several concrete actions. For example, setting a draft Ministry of Environment and Forestry ministerial regulation on roadmap for waste reduction by producers. The goal is to implement producers' responsibility to reduce waste from their products and/or their packaging in a measurable, accountable, and verifiable roadmap. Banjarmasin City is a pioneer in banning the use of plastic bags in modern retailers, which began on June 1, 2016. The efforts have succeeded to reducing plastic bag waste generated by 52 million pieces per month, and in the process followed by several cities. Currently, Indonesia has more than 5,000 garbage banks that involve community to reduce waste from its sources. In Indonesia, waste banks take an important role in reducing plastic waste and also as the main collection point to implement producers' responsibility in reducing their production waste to reach the circular economy and provide the latest development on climate change mitigation and adaptations in Indonesia. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sinar pang
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Yogyakarta to visit Kembang Soka Waterfall. Kulon Progo is one of regencies in Yogyakarta province. This regency provides natural tourism such as tea plantations, waterfalls, and beaches. Today's Indonesian Wonder will introduce you to one of Kulon Progo's tourist attractions, namely Kembang Soka Waterfall. It is because this waterfall comes from the Soka Flower Springs. The water always flows throughout the year and is still used by local residents for their daily needs. Kembang Soka Waterfall is located in Jatimulyo Village, Girimulyo Subdistrict, Kulon Progo Regency, Yogyakarta. The tourist object is located around 32 kilometers from the center of Yogyakarta. The travel time is approximately 1 hour. The road condition is uphill and winding, especially in hilly areas. Just arriving at Kembang Soka Waterfall, you have to pay a ticket for 6,000 rupiah per person. From the parking lot, you have to walk along the path through the forest belonging to the local community. At the top of the cliff, you can see the beautiful Kembang Soka Waterfall. Kembang Soka Waterfall was actually the result of the confluence of three springs, namely Kembang Soka or Toyo Tombo, Tuk Jaran or source of sustenance, and Kalimiri. These three springs are transformed into a stream of three small waterfalls which are about 5 meters, 15 meters, and 30 meters high. The three springs then cross in one of the largest streams, which is approximately 40 meters high. When you walk to the waterfall, you will arrive at the first pool from Tuk Jaran. Towards the valley floor, there is a road in the form of a wooden bridge that passes right in front of the waterfall. The first stream of waterfall comes from Modal River in the upper area. Then you will find a quite large waterfall, which is a canal from the previous stream. The Soka Flower Waterfall flows into a large pond lies on below. The wooden bridge ended on the pond. Besides large enough, the source of the pool is not only from one stream. There is another waterfall on the west side of the pond, namely Miri River or Kalimiri. Listener, the pools in this waterfall are so fresh and cool because they come from springs in Menora Hills. When you throw yourself into the pool, you will definitely want to linger swimming and soak in the pools of Kembang Soka Waterfall. Do not forget to capture the beauty of this waterfall. The facilities are completed, such as parking lots, bathrooms, and restaurants. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Kembang Soka Waterfall.
Tetap jelas di rumah. sada budaya hingga kini menjadi sebutan tetap terpahan namamu di ingatan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Soleni. In today's edition, we will present information about Indonesian author receives Prince Close Award 2018. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesian literary world has just collected a prideful achievement. Indonesian author Eka Kurniawan received the Prince Close Award 2018 for the literary category on 6th of December in the Netherlands. This annual award is presented to individuals, groups, or organizations engaging in cultural field. Their literary works have contributed to developing the society in Africa, Asia, Latin America, and Caribbean islands. Eka Kurniawan is chosen as the winner because of his ability to narrate imaginative stories through the beauty of prose, as well as the universality of the themes of his stories.
213 people were listed as the nominations of the Prince Close Award 2018. 85 of them were accepted and reselected by the Prince Close Award Board. Those who were selected were invited to attend the formal awarding ceremony in the Royal Palace, Amsterdam, before the Royal Family of Kingdom of the Netherlands and guests coming from all around the world. The award would also be given to respective country of the winner, followed by a ceremony led by Dutch ambassador. Besides Eka Kurniawan, the other winners of the Prince Close Award 2018 include Adong Judith from Uganda for theatrical category, Marwa Al-Sabuni from Syria for the architecture and urbanism category, Kidla Tahimik from Philippines for visual arts and film category, and O Menelik Ato from Brazil for media and journalistic category. Meanwhile, Market Photo Workshop from South Africa won the Principal Prince Close Award 2018 for photography category. Dada Masilo, who also comes from South Africa, won the Next Generation Award 2018 for the dance category. Listeners, Eka Kurniawan is an Indonesian author who was born on 28 of November 1975. His works counter all discriminative political treatments. Eka tries to communicate social issues through his creative works so that they can be delivered easily to the public and build better perception about their country. The writer who pursued his study at Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, Indonesia, is thought to be able to sharpen people's understanding about history so that people will have better perception about their country. He is also able to promote local culture of Indonesia by combining local mythology in his stories, which has probably been abandoned in Indonesian literary tradition. The author of Cantik and Luka, or in English, Beautiful and Wound, uses the power of literature to deliver crucial topics in creative way, especially in the period when freedom of expressing opinion was restricted. That was Miscellany about Indonesian author receives Prince Close Award 2018. See you on our next edition with other interesting topics.
Voice of Indonesia.
Lupakan hasrat. hasratku tak lagi untuk saling bercinta. Sudah sampai di sini.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, we will present you some beautiful songs from Titi DJ Jayati, known as Titi DJ. Let us listen to the first song entitled Ekspresi by Titi DJ. Thank you. That was the song entitled Ekspresi, composed by Indra Lesmana and Mira Lesmana. The song was sung by Titi DJ and Indra Lesmana. The song you have just listened was taken from an album Menyanyikan Kembali, a compilation music album of Titi DJ. In a new version of the song Ekspresi, Titi DJ collaborated with other famous female singers, namely Ruth Sahanaya, Rita Effendi, Memes, Melly Guslau, and Reza. The song narrates about someone who wants to express what is in his or her feeling into art in poetry, song, music, and dance. Listener, coming up next, a song entitled Bintang Bintang by Titi DJ.
Yeah.
You have just listened to the song Bintang Bintang by Titi DJ. The song is taken from the same title of album Bintang Bintang, released in 1995. Without any intervention of Indra Lesmana, the album of Titi was different from her previous albums. As the replacement, Erwin Gutawa, Andi Ayunir, and Adi Adrian involved in producing the album. Listener, now let us enjoy a song entitled Sang Dewi by Titi DJ.
Voice of Indonesia.